top of Hamilton's escarpment. 101.5 The Hawk.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back. I'm Sarah Jessica, and this is Hot Shots on Air. And thank you so much for tuning in again tonight. I really appreciate it. And I hope you enjoyed tonight's episode. Tonight, I'm talking to Lauren Price. She's the guitarist and lead vocalist of Toronto punk rock band Monstrosa and a kickboxing instructor at Horizon Martial Arts. You can find Lauren on Instagram as Laura Price and Monstrosa on all socials as Monstrosa Band. So, hey, Lauren.
Hey, Sarah. Thanks so much for having me on.
Yeah, of course. Anytime. I guess, like, just to give a little intro into, like, who you are and what you do, how would you describe your sound and style as a musician?
Yeah, so Monstrosa, essentially, we can be described as a lot of different genres. It definitely has a punk attitude with a lot of metal and hard rock influences in terms of the guitar riffs. Mm-hmm. A lot of what we write about in terms of, like, topics is mental health struggles and LGBT rights and women's rights. So definitely a lot of, like, politics driven, but we also like to make songs that are fun as well. Because I find, like, when I'm writing about heavy topics, like lyrically and stuff, I want people to be able to listen to them, and reflect on it, but also, like, not get too, you know, impacted by it negatively. So I like to, like, balance our albums with dark themes, but also with, like, empowerment and, like, strong themes about overcoming these things. So thematically, that's a lot of what we touch on, but we're very guitar focused in our sound. We have two guitarists in the band. It's me and Emma Ember. So she is the lead guitarist and I mostly play rhythm, and we play off each other a lot. That's definitely the driving force. We both grew up playing music together. We used to just, like, learn new songs front to back and play them constantly. That was our favorite band to cover. Yeah, so that's a little bit about us and our sound.
Cool. Yeah. Who would you say are your biggest, like, musical influences?
Oh my gosh. So for me personally, growing up, my three favorite bands, and it's funny, I'm looking at a collage I made when I was younger. It's Radiohead, Muse, and Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Nice.
Yeah, so I really loved just, like, the way that Radiohead made me feel. Mm-hmm. Like, I think it just, like, it evokes a lot of emotion in a way that I had never experienced with music before. Yeah. So, and Emma as well is a really big Radiohead fan. So that's a huge influence for both of us. And like I had mentioned earlier, Muse, so Matt Bellamy, we love him as a guitarist. And definitely a lot of the riffs I write, a lot of the drop D riffs are inspired by him. And then Red Hot Chili Peppers. It's funny because when I was originally, like, writing the songs on the album, when I heard them back, I was like, oh yeah, like, the way I solo sometimes, I'm not necessarily, like, a shredder. It'll be more, like, melodic. And I find that, like, the guitarist in Red Hot Chili Peppers, sometimes he, like, will hold back and do a solo that isn't necessarily, like, shredding and sweeping the whole thing, but it'll just be, like, really melodic and, like, carefully selected notes. So I feel like in that sense, I kind of take inspiration from them when I'm doing solos specifically. But yeah, and then for Emma as well, she's a big fan of Saint Vincent, so Annie Clark is a big influence for her. She actually has the Saint Vincent signature guitar, which is, like, super awesome.
Oh, cool.
And she just raves about, yeah, it's her favorite thing. So that's a little bit about our influences.
Yeah. Do you remember what you listened to as a kid, or, like, around the house, what your parents played? And do you feel as though that has an impact on your current style?
I think it does for sure. I mean, my parents joke, because my mom listened to Tool a lot when she was pregnant with me. And I heard them talk, they were talking in the room listening to my album, and my dad was like, oh, like maybe that like influenced her all the way from the womb, because some of the riffs reminded him of Tool. But yeah, I definitely have to thank my mom for introducing me to metal. My parents both listened to like all genres, so you know, I grew up with classic rock. I grew up with a lot of 80s as well. I love Depeche Mode so much, and New Order. But yeah, my mom was the one who got me into heavier music, specifically because she would play Nine Inch Nails, Tool, and System of a Down, which were like one of my favorite bands growing up. BYOB is such a jam. It's very fun. But yeah, so that's definitely made a big impact. I'm like really grateful that my parents introduced me to so many styles of music, and yeah, that my mom like got me into metal. I think it's really cool that it was my mom who did that. So
Yeah, that's super cool. It's great to have that, like, it's great to grow up in that kind of environment, you know.
Yeah. Did you have favorite bands growing up? What did your parents play when you were—
Ooh, let me think about that. I mean, there is definitely a lot of classic rock. I remember my parents really pushed me to listen to a lot of like female fronted rock for sure. Yeah, I think it was a lot of rock. I think it was a lot of pop. My parents were definitely like, they both had like those long kind of 80s mullets, like definitely into, you know, they were like, they had the matching hair. It was fantastic. Yeah, definitely.
Oh,
into
amazing.
That kind of music back then for sure. Yeah. So when did you have like— what was the first time that you listened to a piece of music, whether that's like a song or like an album, and you heard it and you were like, wow, I want to create that? That's sort of like aha moment.
Oh, that's such an interesting question.
Yeah.
It's funny because for me, the way that I got introduced to guitar was— this, it's so funny, all this is going to tie back to Muse. I was very obsessed with Muse growing up. So in middle school, we had a classical guitar program at Glen Ames, in Toronto in the Beaches. So that was the first time I ever held a guitar. And, you know, they taught us tabs, which is like the most exciting thing when you're first learning an instrument, because like I couldn't read, I didn't have any classical training or anything like that. So after like the 1 year guitar program, I became self-taught. And I think my aha moment was definitely listening to Hysteria by Muse. I just felt like the riffs were so fun to play and just like interesting and like heavy. And I don't know how I fell into like writing my own stuff. I honestly couldn't remember it, but it was always like learning those riffs and like hearing them, I would just get super, super excited. And I'm like, this is all I want to play, and this is all I want to do.
I feel like another way of asking that question is kind of like, what's the album or song that you wish you wrote? But maybe those are two different answers. I'm not sure. But I feel like those kind of, you know, it's that early kind of spark of like, wow, I wish I did that, or I wish I could create something like that. You know what I mean? Can you think of a piece of music that kind of does that for you?
Yeah, that's super challenging, because I feel like there's so many albums that just like make me feel like— they make me feel really deeply. Like, I love music so much. Honestly, like, I feel like it might have been Kid A, the album by Radiohead. I think just because— yeah, again, just like the— specifically that as an album, like the way the tracks are like front to back all the way through, I just found it really like— I just think they're brilliant. I don't know. And Kid A, like, it was definitely really— it was very foundational to me, I think, because I listened to it a lot when I was a teenager. And I think, you know, growing up— and I write about this a bit and on the new album, but like being a teenager is really, really intense, because obviously like you're going through a bunch of changes with your body and everything, but you're also learning about like all the horrible things in the world. Like, it's like, okay, I'm learning about war for the first time, like in a real way, and like all of the horrific things on earth. And I just felt like listening to Kid A was how I dealt with it, because it just like helped me like feel and process my emotions. And I was just like, the fact that like a piece of music and an album as a piece can do this is pretty incredible.
Yeah, definitely. So you're a guitarist and the vocalist of Monstrosa. Mm-hmm. What came first?
Oh, I was definitely guitar. Yeah. It's funny because I reflect on this a lot. I play guitar in many bands before Monstrosa, and that was always my instrument. Mm-hmm. When me and Emma were younger, we went to Toronto Rock Camp. Yeah. And it was very fun. I mm-hmm. feel like I learned a lot of skills from there, and I use them. Like, we used to do like a stage performance unit where we talk about like stage presence, and mm-hmm. it was very, I'm like, I still think about that today when mm-hmm. I'm picking my stage outfits. But yeah, one of the things that they instilled in me was, if you can, like, and everyone can sing, then you should sing backup in a band, because it just makes it more like dynamic, and it's like a really useful skill. So, you know, when I was in other bands, like, I would offer to sing backup just because I felt like I should do that, like, even though I didn't like it, because I never have liked singing. It was nothing. It never came naturally to me. It just didn't interest me. Like, and I think a lot of people can relate to this, but like, hearing my voice back, like, really upsets me. Like, yeah. I didn't love the sound of my voice, mm-hmm. and I certainly didn't feel it was strong enough to be fronting a band. Mm-hmm. But when Monstrosa started, I'm the main songwriter in the band, and I just felt like, if I'm going to deliver these stories and these messages, I think it should come from me. So I tried, you know, I wrote all the like melodies, and I would like practice and stuff, and like, my bandmates, bless them, like, they really gave me the confidence to be like, yeah, you can do that. Like, yes, you can front the band. Like, mm-hmm. you should be singing these songs. They're your songs. And I'm so glad that they did that, because like, people have been really like embracing the vocals on the album, which I was so nervous about. Because again, like, going back to like listening to like metal and hard rock growing up, like, I always felt that I couldn't sing or like front a band like that, because I can't growl and do like the super awesome metal vocals. Mm-hmm. One day if I train.
Sure. But, you can learn it.
But yeah, exactly. Yeah. But I was just so like caught up in like what a genre was, and mm-hmm. how to match that. And I knew that the guitar parts that I was writing, I wanted it to be rock. I wanted it to be heavy. And I just thought, there's no way that I can sing over this. But then sure enough, like, we recorded the album and we wrote the songs and we performed them, and people responded well to it. So, but yeah, that's a long-winded way to say that guitar definitely came first. And I was very reluctant to do vocals, but I'm very happy that I did. So yeah. That's how that all started. And I am now the singer, but I often forget.
Yeah. Well, I can definitely relate to that. I mean, like, I have a weekly radio show and a monthly podcast, and I hate listening to myself. So
oh
I'm like,
God,
why did I do this?
It never gets easier. It never gets easier.
Oh, God, I know. When did you start creating music? And by any chance, do you remember the first song that you wrote?
Oh, I love this question, because yeah. I have a very specific answer. Mm-hmm. The very first song that I wrote was in my high school band, called Astronaut Compass. Mm. And we played Battle of the Bands. We were so shocked that we like, because we had to audition for it, and we weren't a mess, but we were just like, yeah, we just played a song, and we're like, oh, it's just a joke, they're not going to pick us. Yeah. Because my school had like a really good music program, so we were just like, oh, we're not top notch, it's fine. But then we ended up getting picked and had to put a show together. Mm. But all that aside, the very first song I wrote would have been in that band. I honestly couldn't remember the name of it, but it was the riff and the melody in the chorus that I took and I used in one of the singles coming off of our new album, which is called Youth, which mm-hmm. is kind of dedicated to my younger self and also young teen girls. Mm-hmm. It was like, and it's funny because reflecting back and listening to it is a little painful, because you can just like, you can hear the pain in that melody in my voice. Because it was like, and it was the first time that I like expressed so much anger and frustration like out in a song. So mm-hmm. it was very, yeah, it was very heavy, but it was super cathartic. And it was the first time I'd ever written. And my band at the time, Astronaut Compass, like, they embraced it, which again, like, is like so awesome, because writing is, it's very vulnerable. Like, yeah. If you're like, I wrote this from my heart, and someone's like, yeah, it's okay. Like, that hurts. Mm-hmm. So I feel very fortunate that, you know, I've had so much support from my friends who play music growing up. But yeah, so that song, we performed it by all the bands, and like I have a like really blurry recording of it, but I always remembered that riff and I always remembered that melody. And when I was writing this new song, Youth, I was like, I have to bring that back. Like I gotta record this properly on an album for like my teenage self. I think she'd be really proud. So yeah, so the first song I ever wrote is making a comeback on the new album.
Well, awesome. What are like the major changes that you've made to it?
Yeah, so it was mainly the verses and the bridge are completely different. And other than that, the lyrics I completely wiped and like started over, which is kind of was also very like refreshing in itself, because it felt like the lyrics I had originally written, I was struggling so hard to, in terms of words, express myself. Because obviously, like, that's a skill that people develop over time, like, growing up.
Yeah,
that's why it's so hard. Like, I mean, when you're, like, a little kid and, like, you don't know how to express your emotions, or, like, you're a baby and you can't even speak yet, like, that's difficult. So it was kind of cool to, like, you know, hear the old recording of the old song, the old lyrics, and completely reboot them with the same melody with, like, my voice isn't, like, now as a grown person. I found that, like, really healing for my, like, inner child, I guess. But yeah, so the lyrics were completely redone, and we switched out the verse to have a really cool like bass part with a synth pedal. So just adding a little bit of those like guitar effects that like I've grown to love. And yeah, so I'm really excited about it. It's one of my favorites off the new album for sure.
Awesome. Looking forward to it.
Thank you.
Yeah, when did you begin to look at music as something more than a hobby?
It would have been fairly recently, honestly. I think because Monstrosa started in summer of 2019. It was, everything lined up really well. I had been writing music for about 2 years leading up to that. And I just felt like I thought they could be something more, and I wanted to play them with other people. So of course the first person I called was Emma, because I call her my jam soulmate, because we have been jamming together forever. It's like over 10 years now. And she was down to play, and the rehearsal space that we used to go to is where we met Shannon, because she was a student there, and she just like, she fit in right away and is like one of my best friends now, which is so cool to think about, because yeah, I only met her in 2019, but I feel like I've known her as long as I've known Emma. Yeah, but we, you know, once we kind of got things going, and I knew that I wanted to play I wanted to play shows because I enjoy that. So we played a show. We opened for Bad Breed back in October of that year. And I think like after seeing the turnout and just having like positive, like just like people being like, that song meant a lot, or like just comments like that, I was like, you know what? Like maybe I am good enough at this that I should like take it a little more seriously, if that makes sense. Like. And I've always kind of struggled with the line between like hobbies and like professional, just because like I'm really passionate about like all the things I do outside of like, for example, my full-time paid job. Like when I started doing kickboxing and karate, for example, as a kid, like I never expected to become like a teacher in it, which is like super cool. But then all of a sudden it was like professional level. And then, you know, same with the music, it kind of just naturally developed, and I kind of just gained the confidence to realize that yeah, it can be more than a hobby if you want it to be, and you can do this, and people will you know, they'll listen and like it. And but more than anything, I just felt like my band and my bandmates have so much talent, and they just have such a presence, and like I feel like us as a unit, like I don't know, I just think it just has been working really organically, and I feel really grateful for that every day, because anyone listening to this or anyone who's been in a band before, like, it can be stressful. Like, you can, like, push each other, and, like, that, like, a band relationship is so complicated. I don't know how to explain it other than that.
It's kind of like a work relationship.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like a work relationship, but also you're like working creatively. So it's stuff that you're like emotionally attached to. And yeah, cause I feel that a lot. I'm like, there's always the creative process, but then there's like the business part where you have to book shows and you have to like fund music videos and all of that. Yeah. But I think after that first live show and like realizing what we have built in such a short amount of time from that summer, that I was like, I think we can do this like yeah, like we can do this.
Yeah, totally. Did you study music or take like professional lessons?
Absolutely not.
No.
I am self-taught. Awesome. Despite I did like the 2 years like in middle school, we had that classical guitar class. Yeah. But other than that, I have no training whatsoever.
Well, that's impressive. Good for you.
Oh, thank you so much. Yeah. I have obviously my what's it called? Imposter syndrome. Is that it?
Oh yeah.
I get a lot of that, but you know, I'm just like, well, when my band goes on stage and we perform and the crowd reacts the way they do, I think we're doing something right. So I try not to get too wrapped up in it when I can.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, it shouldn't be a competition. And I get that, you know, sometimes it becomes that. But, you know, like as long as you're creating and it's, you know, oh, well, it should be a level playing field, right?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. And I think there's so many people who are self-taught and are amazing. And, like, they shouldn't be, like, any less credited than people who are like formally trained, like, which is also super impressive and amazing. So yeah, it definitely sucks when there's people who like are elitist about it. But I feel like at least in the circles I'm in the Toronto scene, people are like super open to everyone. And, you know,
that's great. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you think you'd want to in the future, like maybe go to school or like get some lessons done or anything?
I definitely, number one is I want to get lessons for my vocals, but I have been putting it off due to the fact that I hate hearing my own voice and all those insecurities.
Yeah. And COVID, like that's complicated.
That too, yeah. Like singing is dangerous. Like, but I actually did take last summer. It was a total of 4 lessons. It was only a few with Steph Goyer, and she's based in LA. And she just came up on my Instagram on Reels and was like absolutely shredding. And it was kind of like, it was like the best impulse purchase ever, because I went on her page and she was like accepting students. And I was like, okay, cool, I'm down. And I just like didn't think about it and like got 4 lessons. And she was super awesome.
Cool.
Yeah, you can find her on Instagram. It's Steph, STEPHGOYER on Instagram.
There we go. Take a peek, guys.
Yeah, exactly. She's awesome. She has a new single coming out soon, so I'm looking forward to it. I saw a couple behind the scenes of that music video, and yeah, but she was so kind and patient. I sat down with her and I was like, look, I've played for over 10 years, but I don't know anything. So with music theory, it's like a different language, so please take it easy on me. But she was awesome. She's so great.
Awesome. Well, that's great. How did your family and friends react to you pursuing music?
My friends have always been incredibly supportive. I think, and honestly, my parents have been too, but the hardest part for them was me opening up about mental illness stuff. I think, and it just comes from like a fear, which makes sense. And again, I talk about this in other interviews and in my music, that borderline personality disorder is very stigmatized. Yeah, so I think that, like, that kind of freaked them out a little bit at the start. They seemed, like, nervous. Like, my dad was kind of like, how dare you talk about that stuff? And that's just a normal, not normal, I shouldn't say normal, but, you know,
average.
It's something that, yeah, like, families expect it to keep private type of thing.
Yeah.
And obviously that's shifting a whole bunch, like, with social media and everything, and just people knowing more and, like, building community and surviving. Like,
it's what they were raised to believe, right?
And I think, yeah, exactly. And it's just like doing the best that they can and like being protective in the ways they think is right. But I think there was I did an interview with Maud Mosley, and it was so nerve-wracking because my parents were like, let's listen to it at dinner. And it was all of us sitting in silence, like listening to me talk about being like mentally ill for like an hour. And I was like sweating. I was like, I can't stand this. And they were just silent the whole time. And then like, I think like an hour later, like my dad came up to me and was like, oh, you were really articulate. And I think that's really great that you talked about getting treatment and stuff. And so that was really sweet. So I think they're definitely feeling like safer about it and less concerned, which
that's
is good. Yeah, but that's honestly, that was the scariest part for them, I think. Cause if I was just playing guitar and not singing about like the kind of stuff that was happening to me, which is like also like kind of sad for them to hear, they would have felt differently. But I think that I was the vocalist and like some of the lyrics are heavy. It's like, it's startling as parents. They're just like, oh no, but I'm like, I'm okay.
Yeah.
So sure. That was the hardest part for my family.
Yeah. Did they learn about your diagnosis through your music?
They didn't actually.
Okay.
They were very much involved in that process. Yeah. So it was like they found out in a psychiatry ward. But I think a lot of my friends found out through my music for sure.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. How did the band meet?
Oh yeah. So Emma was my friend's like my sister's really close friend. Mm-hmm. In high school, in grade 9, I guess they met. My sister's name is Maddie. Mm-hmm. And they were friends, and then my sister, who's like the best big sister ever, she used to invite me to hang out with her friends all the time, and I felt so cool because mm-hmm. they're all 2 years older, and I was like, my sister lets me hang out with her friends. Mm-hmm. So she invited me to hang out with Emma, and then sure enough Emma like came over and saw my guitar and was like, we should jam together. And I was like, I have no idea what that means or how to do that, but I would love to. And then we took off and started playing Muse and all those shenanigans. So that was how we met. We also went to rock camp that summer. She convinced me to join. And we have just stayed friends since. So that's since high school. And then Shannon, like I had mentioned earlier, when we were rehearsing at BPM in Scarborough, the owner, who was also like a teacher there, mentioned Shannon. And that's how we got connected with her. And it was just like, honestly, such a blessing. I'm so happy that we found Shannon there and that she's part of this band.
Yeah, awesome. Did all of you have like a shared vision for the band's like style and sound and where you were going with it?
Honestly, I feel like there's been like a lot of creative freedom for all of us mm-hmm. because, and I don't know if most people know this, but Emma, our guitarist, does all of our art.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. And mm-hmm. Oh my goodness. Wow. I'm struggling with my words today. She works on video games as her awesome. Full-time job.
Cool.
Yeah. She's super, super talented. And you know, when she creates the art, like it's not like, I know some bands kind of like come together and decide what the album art's going to be. Mm-hmm. Whereas like for us, we're like, Emma, go. So like mm-hmm. come up with whatever, ideas she comes up with, and we always love it. And then because I'm the primary songwriter, I kind of, again, like, I'm so lucky that they embrace my songs as much as they do. I definitely knew, in terms of vision, I knew that I wanted the guitars to be heavy, and I knew that I wanted to shed light on these topics that I'm so passionate about, and Shannon's also a part of the queer community, so us together, like, we co-wrote a single on the new album, I Like Girls Like You Do, which is all about bisexual and lesbian solidarity, so mm-hmm. again, like, it's like thematically we have like the things that we like all of us super care about. Emma just rocks the art. We trust her and she just like kills it every single time. I write everyone's parts and then I teach it to them. And I'm like, and Emma writes all her solos, of course. But yeah, and so in terms of a shared vision, I feel like we just know like less so about like how it sounds or what it looks like, but we know what we stand for, mm-hmm. which is like community and creating a safe space at shows and creating songs that are heavy, but also like also can be danceable.
Yeah.
For example, like All Hail is like, it's super upbeat. Same with Axes, I would say for the most part, mm-hmm. where something like Diagnosis or Save You is a bit like darker in terms of the heaviness. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we like to have that balance because we want, you know, we just want people to feel empowered or excited or just feel something listening to our music.
Totally. Yeah. What are the major ways in which the band has changed over the last, like, year, 2 years? I guess it's been about 2 years now.
Yeah. It's so crazy because it feels like we didn't even take a vacation because we were still doing stuff. But with the pandemic, obviously things shifted.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. It's hard to say. I just feel like now more so than when we started, we just like, there's just more confidence and more like, I don't know. We just feel like really good about what we're doing. Like, I feel like we take a lot of pride in it.
Mm-hmm.
We super, super miss being live, but good news, we're coming back to stage on January 8th. We're playing at the Hard Luck with Soulish Discontinuity and Sundrip, who are coming all the way from Montreal.
Wow.
So yeah. So January 8th, Hard Luck Bar, we're going to be on stage again in front of people, because before that, we've been doing live streams, which was like super challenging. It kind of forced me to be a bit more technical. I like bought a mixer and was like, how are we going to make the sound decent on a live stream, stuff like that. Yeah, but I just feel like, you know, yeah, I just feel like I at least feel, I can't speak for all the members, but I feel really proud of like what we've created. And we definitely gathered steam despite the pandemic. Like our followers increased, and like even though we had to release the album during the lockdown, like people did find it. Like you found us somehow, which is amazing. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, so I think like it's just the support's been amazing despite being stuck in COVID during that time. And, mm-hmm. you know, we're a band that's so like focused on performance and live experiences that was really hard for us. But I think coming out the other side, we're a lot stronger.
Yeah. Well, that's fantastic to hear. I'm very glad.
Yeah.
So we're actually just going to hit pause on this conversation for a quick second and play everyone listening a single from Monstrosa. Axes was the first single released from the punk rockers about misogyny within the music industry. We'll be right back. anyone just joining us, this is Hot Shots On Air, and tonight I'm speaking with Lauren Price of Toronto punk band Monstrosa. We just came back from playing Axes, a single off of your debut album. How long did it take to write that single?
Oh my gosh. So my writing process, I'm starting to realize more and more, is very different than a lot of people.
Sure.
I think because, I mean, obviously, like, some people do this too, where you sit down and you write a song start to finish.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's typically been the pattern for me. And I think Axes was one of those, like, kind of spur of the moment where I had, like, the riff and I was like, okay, like, let's just play with it on GarageBand and see what happens. And I think that's just how my brain works, is, like, obviously I love layering the guitars, so I write Emma's part and my part. Yeah, and honestly, like, it started with that, like, that first lead riff, which is coming in, it comes in the intro, and then just from there, like, I probably sat down for maybe, like, 5 hours and mm-hmm. then had a complete project.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I tend to, like, it's very, not fast. I almost feel like guilty when I finish a song that quickly, because I'm like, I should be like stewing over it longer. Like, what if it's bad? But then sure enough, like, people really, really liked Axes, which I was so glad about, because the meaning behind it meant a lot to us. Yeah, but honestly, like, most of the time, if I sit down in front of, like, GarageBand for a couple hours, I will have a song written. Mm-hmm. By the time I'm out of there, mm-hmm. obviously we do tweaks. Like, I'll, like, go to Emma and be like, do you want to put a guitar solo here? And, like, stuff like that. The lyrics, I can, like, definitely are the things that get changed the most.
Yeah.
But my favorite part about songwriting is guitars. Like I mentioned at the beginning, like, it's a very guitar driven band. That's where I'm primarily coming from, is as a guitarist. And I just love writing riffs and guitar harmonies and all that good stuff. So when I, have an idea and I sit down to write it, I can just, like, go start to finish and try and, like, complete the idea, which I think is, like, difficult, like, for some people. And it was for me when I was younger, because, like, I'll be writing it and I'll be like, oh, this is so bad, like, I hate it, kind of thing. But now I just have this attitude where I'm like, whether I like it or hate it doesn't matter, like, just finish it, complete it, and then put it away.
Mm-hmm.
And you can listen to it later, and if you don't like it, that's okay. But at least you have, like, a finished item that you can, like, then work on and change if you want to. But yeah, Axes was one of those. I sat down and then I had it written 5 hours later.
Totally, yeah. Why the title?
Oh, so Axes, I don't know if this is a universal thing, probably, but Axe is, like, another way of saying guitar. So it's, like, literally, like, she got a brand new axe, as in she got a brand new guitar.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's what the title is. It literally was just, yeah, we love calling guitars axes because we all like weapons.
Yeah.
And I think it's a really good, like, synonym for them. I think it's fun.
Yeah. Can you tell me a bit about the lyrics on this song and, like, what they mean to you?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'll say my lyrics are pretty literal,
mm-hmm.
which is, again, something with imposter syndrome. I'm like, is that bad? Am I
yeah.
being lazy?
Yeah.
But yeah, the chorus is quite literally about me and Emma. I think it was the summer of 2018. We went guitar shopping for the first time since having, like, our Fender Squires since we started playing guitar. We were like, oh yeah, there's other guitars out there. Let's get a second guitar. And we just found, like, it was difficult to go into music stores without having attitude thrown at us because we were women. I still get that, like, today, like, if I go into a music store alone, I get kind of anxious because I just, like, passive-aggressive comments or, like, mm-hmm. microaggressive type things will happen quite a lot, I find. Like, it's pretty, like, I mean, it's enough that I expect it when I go in there.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so Emma was in a guitar shop alone and was, like, looking for a guitar strap, and the guy was like, oh, it's like we're wedding dress shopping,
which oh, just, like, boy.
It just, well, first of all, it didn't even make sense. It was
no.
just weird. And then, second of all, I was like, it's not like that at all. Like, just, did you have to, what? Like, I don't get it. Like,
wow.
And I feel like that's definitely one of the milder comments we've gotten,
mm-hmm.
but That was kind of the one that I sat with, and I was like, I'm gonna write this song about, you know, her getting her new guitar that she like knows a lot about because we actually know things. And yeah, so that was, and it was just like the chorus, and then it was also just about Emma being like really awesome and cool. I think it kind of comes across, but like me and my bandmates are very close friends outside of the band. So it was kind of like a little bit of a love message to her to be like, hey, like I've been playing music with you forever and I respect you so much, and I'm so excited that you got this new St. Vincent guitar. Like, that's quite literally like what the chorus is saying. It's just like, you know, sexist people in guitar stores can go away. You're awesome, keep shining, thanks for playing music with me. So that was kind of my message to her in that song.
I love it. Who did you work with to record and produce that single?
So we recorded at BPM in Scarborough. It's a small music school there, and it was where we used to do rehearsal and where Shannon was a student growing up. So we worked with Sean. He was the sound engineer on that album.
So he then he recorded and produced your entire album then?
Was honestly like, I wouldn't say produced. Okay. when we had the initial meeting, he was like, do you want a producer or do you want just a sound engineer? And I was like, just a sound engineer.
There we go.
So yeah, it was just kind of good. I think hopefully for the next album we're looking to work with a producer. Just because, yeah, like, I appreciate the creative input. It's, like, really helpful. But because it was our first time recording ever, and we didn't really, like, know the level of seriousness, we were kind of just like, yeah, let's just record these songs as they are and, like, see what happens. It was nice. Like, we played live off the floor and then did overdubs. Overdubs are so stressful. Because, yeah. I don't know, like, live off the floor, at least you have each other, so you can, like, feel off each other's energy. And, like, but overdubs, you're just sitting there alone. You're like, well, I hope this sounds okay.
Yeah.
But I've been slaving away to the click, so hopefully I'll be more prepared and ready to record.
Totally. I'm sure you will.
Thank you.
Yeah. Did you grow up in Toronto?
I did, yes. Yeah.
So why stick around Toronto?
It's funny. I think about this a lot because if I had been... Actually, well, there's no saying what life would be like if I was born in a different place, but I'm really grateful that I was born in this city.
Yeah.
Because, like, you know, if I had been born, like, in a super small town or something, for example, or, like, a suburb where there's, like, you know, it's just not, like, a major city, like, I would have to move to, like, come to a place like Toronto or to go to Montreal or wherever. But I just, like, I kind of, like, have always loved the city. And I was, like, oh, I kind of realized, like, you know, when I went away to university, I went to McMaster for my first year. Shout out to Hamilton. Very cool city as well. But it made me realize like how much I love Toronto, because I was like, oh yeah, like there's so much here already, you know, like it's such a good, yeah, it's just like such a good city, and there's so much music, and there's so much, like, I just, it's been such a positive, like, for the most part, experience, like getting to meet all the amazing people that I do and connecting with them. And yeah, I just kind of have always felt a connection to it. And I think a lot of that connection is because of music. Because even like, you know, as a teenager, I remember the first time my mom took me to Queen Street West, and like, I went to Rotate This and got a record. And then we went across to, I think, World of Posters, and I got my first Muse t-shirt. And I was like, this is so cool. This city is so punk rock. And I was like obsessed with the movie Scott Pilgrim growing up, which was also based in Toronto and very much about like the rock scene and music. And, you know, I feel like in other cities, like even when I was in New York for a bit, like there's not as much, like, I feel like in Toronto, it's super easy to find, like, an open mic night, like, any night of the week. Like, there's just so much live music here. Like, whereas, like, other places, it's just not, there's obviously music everywhere and amazing musicians everywhere, but I just feel like the community in Toronto is, yeah, I'm just really drawn to it, so.
Yeah. What do you think makes, like, the Toronto music scene unique compared to, like, other local scenes?
Oh my gosh. I'm definitely biased in this answer.
Sure. No,
yeah. Just cause I'm not as well versed in other music scenes. But honestly, for me, like a big part of it is like just how many amazing queer artists and musicians I've gotten to connect with here. even just like going to like Pride Toronto and like seeing the different stages and the different performers and like, I just, it's always felt so like diverse and incredible. Mm-hmm. And there's, yeah, I don't know. I definitely feel like there's a huge, like strong queer community here. That's like been so foundational to like me as an artist and like how I've been able to express myself and like, you know, to go on stage and like sing about those themes to like everyone there and for people to like understand it has always been like really special. So I think that's definitely something that Toronto brings.
Yeah.
That is, yeah, it's really special.
Yeah. Who are some local artists that you think deserve more spotlight?
Oh my gosh, I feel like I always give this answer and it's a good one.
Yeah.
One of my favorite bands right now is Cutsleeve.
Mm.
They're an all Asian queer punk band based in Toronto.
Cool.
And yeah, their EP is out right now everywhere except for Amazon Music.
Mm.
And I just think they're so cool. Like, honestly, the music speaks for itself. Like, I hope folks do go and check it out. But yeah, that's a band that like, that's just like punk to me, is like these people coming together and like writing so like deeply about these experiences with like super sick riffs and like really cool, like, they really do it for me. I'm super obsessed with Cutsleeve right now.
Yeah.
Another band I really love is Wax Limbs.
Mm-hmm.
With like their earlier stuff, I was like really connected to it because it reminded me of Radiohead.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and they're super cool live. They have like a light show that they put on, all this stuff. They released a single every month for 12 months this year, I believe. This year or last year? I think it started September of last year and it went all the way to this September. So that's just like such a cool feat to accomplish. And like every single, Emma, our guitarist, actually did some of the single art for them, which is super cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's definitely another band that I'm a huge, huge fan of.
Yeah. Do you have a like dream collaborator? And like, you can go big on this one. Choose anyone.
Oh my goodness. Oh, that's really hard.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so funny because I was like, oh, I'll think big. But then I was like, I'd actually like want to just collaborate with like bands I know in the city more so than like,
yeah,
like even Muse or something, just because I'm like not afraid, but I'm like, I don't know you.
Mm.
Oh my gosh. I kind of have been a little bit, but I talked to Callie from Terra Stray, Vanya, who's an amazing drummer in the city, and then also Hillary from Cutsleeve.
Mm-hmm.
And we just like have a little chat where we talk about like music and stuff, and I think my dream collab would like be the four of us.
Cool.
I feel like it would be a super like kind of like all-star performance. So
yeah.
I'm just a big fan of all three of them, and like, yeah, and we've like become really good friends just over like video chat during like the pandemic. And
mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're like, they're three people I really respect and like want to play music with.
Mm-hmm. Well, my next question was actually, are there any local musicians you'd love to collab with? So there we go.
Yes, yeah. There we go.
Yeah. Do you know
if there's a bigger ones? I honestly couldn't say at the moment.
Yeah, definitely. Sure. Do you know what you'd want to create with them?
I think it would just be like, honestly, just to like write an EP or something.
Yeah.
Like, I just think that'd be really cool because they're all really good at writing.
Yeah.
So
for sure.
Yeah, it'd be sick.
Yeah. So actually the most recent project that Monstrosa was a part of was a charity compilation album called Fruit Salad, right?
Yes.
An album highlighting queer artists from the GTA area while raising funds for the People's Pantry, which is a grassroots community initiative. What is the People's Pantry? Can you give a little description of what that is?
Yeah, so the People's Pantry, they do work with food insecurity in Toronto.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's like a grassroots organization. Yeah, I just, because it was Maud mostly who approached us about mm-hmm. the compilation album, and I just thought it was such an important topic because I feel really passionate about food security because it's like food should be a right, and yet it's so, you know, I mean, the city's going through many a crisis, but
mm-hmm.
yeah, so they do amazing work with food insecurity and providing meals for people. And yeah, Maud just reached out to a bunch of like queer artists in the city and were like, do you want to make this compilation album? And then sure enough, like I listen to it when I do my makeup.
Yeah.
And yeah, there's like, it's such a neat album that they put together. So we were really honored to be on it for such a great cause. And yeah, I hope people check it out.
Yeah. How did you become a part of the project?
So we knew Maud because basically they had reached out when we released the album. I guess they found us through social media. I'm assuming that's how most people find us, because I'm like, how else? Yeah, they reached out to interview us when we had our album release. And then since then, we've just kept in touch. And yeah, so they just sent us a message and like asked us if we wanted to donate a song, which was such a cool concept to me too, that like a song that I had written could be donated, but that I could donate music and that would be like me contributing. Like it just, I don't know, I'd never thought of my music that way, as like a way of contributing to the world and giving back. So I just thought it was like super cool that Maud was like, yeah, like you can donate a song and we'll like put this together with like all these artists. And I was like, this is awesome. I definitely want to be involved.
Mm-hmm. How was the experience upon the release? Did you get any feedback?
Not too much.
Yeah.
We're still we're still raising funds and like trying to like promote it. Yeah, you can get it on Bandcamp. If you go to our Instagram profile, the link is there. Yeah. And it's just like, it's such a great album and it's so cool because like, I don't know, I like compilation albums because you get to check out a bunch of different bands and artists. So
yeah,
definitely go check it out if you get the chance.
Yeah, beautiful. So besides music, you're also a kickboxing instructor.
Yes, I am. Yeah.
A little off topic here. But,
no, all good.
Yeah. When did you start that sport?
Oh my gosh. So I started doing karate. That was my first martial art. And I started when I was 7.
Mm-hmm.
And then I probably would have started kickboxing in high school, I guess, because I was like, oh, I can try other martial arts too. And they offered it at my dojo at Horizon. And yeah, so ever since then, like, I've just been like training and teaching since I guess I was 7. Not teaching, not that young, but you know what I mean.
I would have been impressed. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, youngest sensei ever.
Seriously?
Yeah.
When did you start teaching?
I probably would have started teaching probably when I was 18. Feel like because I went away to school and then I ended up dropping out because of mental health complications.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, and then my sensei was like, hey, like you can like come teach here. And like, I've always appreciated that because I feel like when I've been at my lowest, like my sensei has like picked me up and been like, here's an opportunity. I know you can do it. That's why I'm giving it to you.
Oh,
here you go.
That's
yeah. Cause yeah, even in during the pandemic, like when it started, and obviously the dojo had to shut down, which was really scary. He was like, okay, well, like, I'll pay you to, like do video lessons 3 times a week. And it, like, gave me something to do, which was so helpful because, you know, I was one of many, 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 many people who were struggling at the time. So it was so great to have that. So, yeah, I've been teaching probably since I was 18.
Awesome. That's amazing. How has it been in, like, what major lessons have you taken from being an instructor?
Oh my gosh, so many.
Yeah.
I love my students so much. I have a youth class that I teach, and quite a few of them are LGBTQ+, and I just feel like as a teacher, it's, I guess, like, I've definitely learned, like, how to communicate with people, I think, because, you know, like, teaching's so strange because, like, you want people to, like, you want to, like, help them get better and grow as people, but you also, like, want to support them as a mentor and, like, all that stuff. And, like, honestly, those are all skills I also use as a band leader, too. But, yeah, it's, like, it's so hard to put into words what teaching is given to me because I feel like it's just such a big part of like my daily life. Cause like, no matter what I was doing, like I was in university, I like had dropped out. I had had my full-time job now. Like I still continue to teach. And I just think, I feel like that's like one of the ways in which I try to give back. And it just kind of like, if anything, it just teaches me like how like, I don't know, just, like, how valuable, like, today's youth are. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I feel like I'm being taught because mm-hmm. I don't know, like, they're so important. They have so much important things to say. And, like, I don't know. I really love working with them.
Yeah.
I'm not very articulate with this because I'm like, wow, I can't even think about it without getting emotional. But mm-hmm. I love teaching so much.
No, that comes across very clearly. No, I totally get what you're saying. What can we look forward to seeing from you?
Oh my gosh. So Monstrosa has quite a bit happening, which is great. I'm so excited.
Mm-hmm.
We will be recording the second album. We're hoping in the new year.
Yeah.
Gonna get back in the studio because we've played a couple of the songs live now, but we really want to record them mm-hmm. and release them so people can hear them. So yeah. That's definitely gonna be coming. Probably some releases in the late spring. And in terms of live shows, you can catch us January 8th at a Hard Luck Bar. And that will be our first in-person show, finally, in over a year, which is, like, wild to think about. But, that's what's up and coming for us.
That's so exciting. Very
exciting. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thanks, Sarah.
Yeah, of course, anytime. And, thanks so much for, jumping on here and talking to me. This was fun.
Yeah, of course. It's always great to chat with you. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, well, everybody listening, you can find Lauren here on Instagram as LoreLorePrice and Monstrosa on all socials as Monstrosa Band. We're going to wrap up this episode with another single from Monstrosa. Diagnosis is a hard-hitting single about being diagnosed with borderline personality disorder and the sexist stigmatization of BPD.
Hey, everybody, this is Lauren Price from Monstrosa, and you're listening to Hot Shots on Air at 101.5 The Hawk.